I guess so. Hallelujah. Love you, Pastor. God bless you, everybody. Isn't Jesus good to us? Amen. Amen. Let's raise our hands and pray for just a minute. Lord, we praise you today. Sometimes it can be a hectic day, a weekday like this. Come home, run, change clothes, everybody, this, that, try to get to the house of God. But now this is our time. We worship you. We praise you because you are worthy. We appreciate the great presence of your Spirit who sets us free, the Spirit of grace. Lord, we just come now to sit down and be filled with your word, your Spirit, be empowered by you, and do what only you can do for us, Lord Jesus. In this world, we will have great tribulation. Check. Got it. And now it is our time, though, that we are of good cheer because you have overcome this world. And you have overcome every situation on our tomorrows, in our todays, and what we're facing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you raise us up out of the valley. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead and be seated. This is a friendly church. If I say hug somebody or say hi, we'll be here till tomorrow morning. Hallelujah. So I don't care if you don't know him. Sit down. Let's get in the book. Amen. Praise God. Bring a Bible tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. We're going to talk about the power of the renewed mind a little bit. Always good to be back here in Chester. I love this church. Love your pastors. You know, some places you just feel at home, amen? Because there's other places you just don't, amen? But what did they say in that movie? We fit together like peas and carrots, hallelujah, amen. If you're waiting for some big Greek revelation, you'll have to let Pastor bring in somebody smarter than me, hallelujah, amen. We're just going to walk with God and be real people. Is that be all right with you? Now, Let's read Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, and then we'll kind of pull some things together. We're going to look at several verses here. This is Paul, the great apostle, writing by the Holy Spirit, because these are really the words of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We say Paul wrote, but really the Holy Spirit wrote. Paul put pen to it. Amen. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brother, means I beg you. Now, when they whipped Paul, he didn't beg for his freedom. When they imprisoned Paul, he didn't beg for his freedom. But when it came to the renewing of your mind, to you getting in church, getting the word of God down inside of you, he said, I'm begging you, get this together. Pay attention to what I'm saying to you. Can you hear the heart of the Holy Spirit through the apostle imploring, begging people? He's adamant, you need to know what's going on. Amen. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You might say, no big deal. You're not getting a gold star on your forehead for Sunday morning church. Hallelujah. And do not be conformed to this world. Oh, the world likes it or hates it when you're not conformed. They can tell when you're not conformed. They want you to talk like them. They want you to walk like them. They want you to dress like them. They want to educate your kids to be like them. They can tell when you're not. Well, they can just deal with it. We're not changing. Hallelujah. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, the power of the renewed mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But let's just kind of talk here for a little bit. It's been said, and rightly so, that man is a three-part being, right? You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. That's the way the Pentecostals typically say it. I assume you preach some version similar to that here. Amen. You are a three-part being. The real you isn't your body. Your body can be saying one thing and smiling and you not like anything you're doing. Hallelujah. Amen. The real you is the inside cat that's not coming out. Hallelujah. Your brain is getting continually renewed or washed through the washing of the water of the Word of God. Amen? Your spirit man and your body. Your body won't get renewed until you go home to heaven. I don't know if you didn't realize this or not, but when you got born again, your body didn't change much. Amen? You might have some miracle changes or whatever, but typically, whatever age you were before you got born again, your body's still that age. You can nip it, tuck it, pluck it, but it's yours. Amen? Hallelujah. You feed it too much, holy or not, it shows up. Praise God. Amen. You don't feed it, it shows up. You let it rest too much and boss you around, it gets lazier, wants more yet. It doesn't sort up and say, there, gee, I'm full. It says, no, how about another half hour? Hallelujah. And I don't know who invented the dumb snooze button, but I'd have given us a lot more than 9 minutes. Amen. Could we not round that off to 10? Is there not an adjustment? Just some of the things I think about while I'm getting ready to preach. Hallelujah. Couldn't somebody put an app on my snooze button that I can change it to 50? Why has it got to be 9 minutes? Somebody wrote a patent on that. Hallelujah. Anyways, getting back to my message. That's your body. Your spirit man, it got renewed when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. That's the part of you that where the Bible says, behold, all things have become new. That's the new you. In Matthew, where it says this, it says the Matthew 1:20, every Christmas play we say this, even Charlie Brown talked about it. The angel comes to Joseph and he says that Mary's pregnant from the Holy Spirit and she will have a child. You shall name his name Jesus. And then it says this, it says, and he shall save these people from their sins. That literally means their sinful nature, their nature, their desire. We're not, that's why John the Baptist and Jesus both said, now is the axe laid to the root of the tree. We're cutting down to the root. We're not dealing with the leaves anymore. We're not trimming this tree. We're going to cut it off at the roots. What? The sinful nature of man that was found in the Garden of Eden when man rebelled, didn't listen to God. Amen? Yes. That's your nature. Here's the best way I know how to illustrate this. And my wife wanted a dog. I said, I don't want to get a dog because dogs shed, and I don't want shed because I grew up with German shepherds, and I don't like shedding all over the house. She said, well, Kendra and I, my daughter, want a dog. I said, I want a dog. So we got this dog. Now, it's this Yorkie poodle mix, which my friend who raises German shepherds says is a great blight on my manhood. Hallelujah. But I... praise God, because other people have similar dogs that I know of. I will not go there. Hallelujah. Hey, I got ribbed from the pulpit. It's fair. Hear me now. We got this dog home, and it didn't shed. It was actually a good little dog, but it didn't just sit on the couch, which I didn't care because it didn't shed, but it would always sit on the back of the couch, just kind of like Snoopy. You know, the old Charlie Brown sit on the top of the dumb doghouse and peer out and look all over the whole living room like he's in charge or she was in charge. And I thought, well, we just got the weird dog. You know, just my luck, I get the weird dog of the litter. I can't just get stuck with a dog that don't seem to want to leave this earth. I got to get the one that has all these weird tendencies. Till I was on the road traveling through Minnesota and I stayed at a pastor's home. We were having dinner. And this, he's got a dog similar, and that dog, I'll be jumped up on the couch and sat on the back of the couch. Now, my dog didn't call that dog and say, hey, let's sit on couch backs. It's the nature of the breed. It's just what they do. If you get a beagle, I get a beagle, part of the nature of that beagle is to hunt. He sees, smells a coon, he's howling. You don't have to teach that dog. It's his nature. Man's sinful nature, he gravitates towards the things that kill him. I can give man a grape, he'll ferment it and pickle his liver and ruin his marriage with it. This repeats on every planet of the earth, or on every continent on this planet. If my ancestry is German, you give them a potato, they make beer out of it. I go to the Philippines, you take rice, they'll make rice wine out of it. That, you understand what I'm talking about? The fallen nature of man. That's why you can take all the guns away and it doesn't matter, because God gave it Cain and Abel a rock and he killed his brother with it. That's our fallen nature. In that aspect, if God didn't change that nature, it wouldn't matter how much prosperity God gave you, you would ruin yourself with it. Case in point, read the news. Amen? Look at people who quote, get ahead, but they don't fix that sinful nature. Now we're just doing bigger sins. Is this making sense to anybody? So we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. We're going to just focus in on the renewing of the mind, but because all three parts affect you, that's why, you know, your brain can literally lie to you. it can become convinced of so many things, and you miscalculate that if we don't renew this inner man, amen, your mind, then you continually get led astray. You don't need a demon to do it. You're doing it to yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's just study that. With this in mind, go with me to the book of Acts. I like to look at the Apostle Peter for just a little bit here. Acts chapter 3, verse 11. This is the story of Peter and John. They're going to prayer. You know, Jesus is gone. They're there. And they walk into the church or into the temple that day, the synagogue. On their way in, they pass this man by who is lame. And he asks for alms. You have to understand that this man is going to starve to death if somebody doesn't help him. It isn't like modern day where they have government assistance. The Romans certainly don't care if he dies. Just one less for them to worry about because he's an Israeli. And the Jews are only going to help him so much, but their nation has been overrun. There's no funds to help this guy. So if God's people, just out of the kindness of their heart, don't step up to the plate, this guy doesn't have anything. So he's there begging. As he's begging, Peter and John head to prayer. Thank God for leaders that pray. Amen. They go to church when they're not preaching. Hallelujah. And this guy says, can you help me? And he, remember Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give. Rise and walk. And up this man walks. So we're going to pick it up from that point, verse 11. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, I guess you would hold on, wouldn't you? If you had never stood up a day in your life, it's the first time he's been over 2.5 feet high. Ever. Thank God for the mercies of God. I'd hold on to somebody too. You understand? This is all new to him. He ain't never done this before. Held on to Peter and John, and the people all ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, and they were greatly amazed. Now here's what's happened. All of this crowd that came to the synagogue that day, they all walked past this guy. Some helped him, some didn't. Some walked, saw him last year when they were there, some didn't. But he's been here all of his life. It's the only place he can go to get help. They go by, and this same guy, they walk past on their way, just like you came through the outer doors today, that they just walk past. Now he's leaping, dancing, and running through the church. And this crowd begins to form, but not in the main temple. You know, if you've been to Israel, so this will make sense. The outer wall, and just to kind of put this all in perspective, I'm not giving a class on the synagogue, but the outer court was about a half mile square, right? That's the wall that you see in the picture where the Wailing Wall, that's the outer wall that goes all the way around. The actual buildings were further inside. That's where this guy was. So they all walked in. On their way in, this miracle happened. So they stop. They're not going into the main, what we would call sanctuary anymore. This crowd now is gathered, but they're not coming into church. They're all staying outside where that guy is. All right? Just kind of make sense? Here we are, let's go 11 again. They ran together to him on the porch, which is called Solomon's, and they were greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or look at us so intently as though through our own power or godliness we have made this man to walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus whom you delivered up." And he goes on and he preaches. And let's skip down here to chapter 4, verse 1. It's a great sermon. You should read it yourself. But for the sake of time and kind of to stay to my point, go to chapter 4, verse 1. "Now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them." So this large crowd is forming, but not in church. It's outside. The temple guard, just like you might have a security team at the baseball stadium or the football stadium or the basketball stadium, the temple has its own security team. So these guards come and they notice this large crowd forming, but not in church. There's these two preachers up there preaching. They're having their service, but not in where everybody's supposed to be. They don't like it. "The captain of the temple, the Sadducees, came upon them," verse 2, "being greatly disturbed." You can greatly, not good when the security's greatly disturbed. that they taught the people and preached in the name of Jesus the resurrection from the dead. We'll come back to that. They laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. In other words, too late to hold court. And so we'll just lock them up, aren't they precious, for the night. And you think you got it rough, hallelujah. And then it says this in verse 4, it says, however, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. So we know on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people are born again, correct? On this day, an additional 5,000 people are born again. When Jesus found Peter, three and a half years before, he makes this statement. He said, if you'll listen to me, if you'll follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. And in his first couple of outings, 3,000 people get born again. And on this day, 5,000 people get born again. Folks, no offense, but this is why we need the power of God back in the local church. When the power of God begins to fall, people stop asking questions and start responding to the man of God. Can you say amen? That's why we need you and I walking in the anointing. That's why we need you in the helps ministry. Because in that helps ministry, it gives the pastor time to live before the Lord in the word of God in prayer. That power begins to fall again and things begin to mesh and work. Amen? But if we let the pastor or the preacher be drained and strained all the time, it's no wonder that the power begins to wane. Amen? Because without meaning to, we pull him out of where he's supposed to be. Can you say amen? So this all making sense to you?
Yes.
Now, I don't know how you think. This is how I think. Peter standing there in front of this crowd of people, and in an altar call, his church just grows 5,000 people overnight. Pause this thought where we are, because when they bring him out tomorrow morning, we want to talk about that. I want to just bring to your remembrance a guy we call Caiaphas, but he's the high priest. Go with me if you would. Let's look in the Gospels here in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 57. I haven't lost my focus on the power of the renewed mind. Just trust me, we'll get to that. This is after Jesus is taken captive in Gethsemane, and all the disciples run off, even though they all said they'd never do it. 57. And those who laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. So he is at the high priest's house, and Caiaphas is the high priest, correct? So this is all happening in Caiaphas' house. That's going to become important in just a minute when we get back to the book of Acts. Just stay with me. Now the chief priests and the elders sought counsel and false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. What great Christian people. But found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said this, and it goes on and talks about different things, totally taking what he said out of context. Verse 69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. Now remember, all of the disciples, not just Peter. When Jesus said, this night they'll strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter, they all said, oh no, not me. I'll be here till the end. You don't know. In fact, Peter said, not only will I not leave you, if they kill me, I'd rather die with you than abandon you. So that was his heart. We've talked about that other times I've been here. I remember what I preached. Amen. So I'm not trying to repeat that, but just want to bring everybody so we're all on the same page here. All right? So that's the first time Peter's denied the Lord. And that's happening in Caiaphas' house. Verse 71, and when they had gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were with him, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. In other words, hey, this guy here, he was with him too. But again, he denied it with an oath and said, I do not know the man. Second time, a little later, those who stood by came up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you." And he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man," and immediately the rooster crowed. Whose house is this happening in? Caiaphas's house. Are you with me?
Yes.
75, Peter remembered the word of Jesus who said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. Back to Acts chapter 4. Verse 5. Peter's thrown in prison for healing the lame man. He comes out, him and John. Chapter 4, verse 5, book of Acts. "And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers and elders and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest and Caiaphas," sound familiar? "John and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest." Do you think Peter knows who these people are? You know, when we start talking about the resurrection or the crucifixion or whatever, you know, we almost break it up as if it happened a long time ago. It didn't. You're talking just a few months ago, Jesus was hauled out of, one day he comes in and they're singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna." It's a few days later, he's up on a cross, "Crucify him, crucify him." Then they go up to Galilee, and through many infallible proofs, the book of Acts takes place, or Acts chapter 1, he goes up to heaven. And so these people, you understand, these people know these stories. They recognize each other. It's not a separate issue. So when they bring Peter up out of prison and John, he knows these people. He remembers. He sees exactly. It was only a few months before he did the very thing he promised himself he'd never do. And he comes back up out of the prison, and who's standing there but Caiaphas, his whole family, the girls and the women who were the servants at the door that had so intimidated him just a few weeks, maybe a few months before, to where he did the very thing he promised himself, "I'll never leave you." And he wept bitterly over, and now this whole scene is repeating itself again. Are you with me? "We're gathered together at Jerusalem," verse 7, "and when they set them in the midst," that's Peter and John, "they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" Pause. There's a little something that's changed. Because between the day that they so intimidated Peter and got him to deny, and this day, see, in the garden, Jesus said, "Pray that you might not fall into temptation," but they slept. Pastor called prayer and people didn't come. Imagine. They didn't pay attention. Thought the man of God was exaggerating things. I know you never do that. Stretch your imagination. They didn't come to prayer. Thought it wasn't a big deal, Saturday morning prayer, Friday night prayer, whatever night pastor called prayer. Your spiritual leader sees things you don't see. Knows things you don't know. You have to listen even when you don't understand. Can you say amen? Just talking about good church life, good working in the helps ministry. Get involved. Find something to do. Why? Because as you're, all those nights Peter's rowing through the night, all those times Peter's being stretched, handing out the food and the bread, all those things he doesn't understand, God is using those to teach him. God is using those. And as he's being faithful to do what he knows to do, God is building inside of that man an apostle, and he doesn't even know it. He's just working with his hands. He's just passing out bread. He's rowing the boat. He's you understand, he's cooking fires. Some were sent to go set up the upper room. We don't even know why we're doing this. We're taking a colt. We're bringing it in, and people are saying, "What are you doing?" You know, the penalty for stealing is to get your hand cut off. Imagine pastor turned, he said, "Harold, run down to the truck store and get me a new truck." Well, he better heard from God. Harold ain't coming back. That's, you understand what I'm talking about? That's where these brothers have been living for the last three and a half years. Jesus is stretching them, man. They're not used to this. Coming up out of that, let's just pause that for a minute. In that upper room, When Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. In that upper room, when Peter decided, all right, Pastor, I'll do what you tell me to do. You say pray, I'm going to pray. I'll trust you that you know what you're doing. And in that room, he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, God Almighty for himself. Him, James, John, Matthew, all of them. And the Holy Spirit was poured out. And from that time on, he was not the same Peter that they intimidated sitting around that fire just a few weeks before, maybe a couple of months. Caiaphas was the same. Annas is the same. But Peter and John, they are two different people. And look how he responds. The situation's the same, but the inner man is now renewed. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we are judged for the good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone. I'm telling you, brother, he's going off. He's going off. Do you understand? Caiaphas is trying to shut this down. He has paid Judas to betray Jesus. He now has a field he doesn't want. He has had to pay the Roman soldiers to lie about the resurrection. He doesn't even like the Roman soldiers. He's had to do business with Herod and Pilate and use up all of his favors. He doesn't even like these guys. And now all of a sudden, here's this stinky fisherman standing in the middle of the synagogue preaching Jesus Christ. And look at the rest of this. Whom you killed, Caiaphas. Great job. I added that. Great job. You're so smart. Since the days of the book of Malachi, 400 years, we've all been promised a great Messiah would come, and he comes and you killed him. Brainchild, way to go. Caiaphas is standing there. His mouth hits the floor. He can't shut. You understand? He can't cut the mic. There is no mic. You know what I love about God? He's the God of the common man. Peter doesn't rub shoulders with the right people down at the temple. His family has no connections to build his ministry. He has nobody. He doesn't know anybody who knows anybody who walks in this crowd. He didn't have connections. Standing there, coming up out of the prison, 3.5 years before, his hands are full of fish, guts, blood, scales, and eyeballs. Standing now in front of the high priest of his nation, God puts him out here and he says, tell your story, son. Tell your story. And that fisherman begins to rear back and he talks about a Jesus who came into his life and changed everything about him till he hardly recognizes himself anymore. And he knows that he knows that he knows. See, this is when the minister of helps gets his mind set with what's really going on here. That all of this working and the ministry and helping the kids is you helping them, but it's God helping you. It's setting you up for your future. It's building a time when God can pull out of you what he has poured into you. It's you being used at the master's good use. It's you being set up for your future, that you're now the miracle man and other people look at you and say, how do you know these things? Peter had an encounter with God Almighty. That fisherman, him and John, both fishermen together when Jesus found them in a failing business, fished all night and caught nothing. Have you ever been there? Worked all night, you don't have any more money than you did when you started? Standing there and all he knows is, I'm telling you. You want to know how I can help people? Because that same Jesus that you killed was the Son of the living God and he has changed my life forever. I got asked to preach for a guy. He was the dean of one of the biggest Bible schools in our nation. And I had preached for some pastors that he was friends with, and they used to have these theological forums. So I knew him. They'd bring maybe 8 or 15 preachers together, and they'd talk about some doctrine. I'm My question is always, how many people get born again over all of that? Amen. And whose life gets changed? Because when you're out in the fields of Africa and people got snakes biting them, nobody cares about your theology and your degrees on the wall. Amen. Somebody's looking for somebody who knows the power of God. So we talked, and I listen, trust me, I'm for good theology. I'm concerned about parts of the body of Christ now that don't have good theology. You don't have to match mine, but you have to at least know who God is. Amen? Yes. We had a guy write a book in our areas that that there is no hell. Well, that's nonsense. What do you think Jesus came for? Amen? Anyways, I'm not belittling good theology, but this, his whole church knew all the isms and all the four vocabulary words. I mean, to me, if you have to use that many syllables, slow down, amen? I didn't pay for all of that. Just break it down for me, bread and water, amen. I'm good with that. So I was getting ready to preach for him, and I told him I'd be in his area. He said, well, I'd love to have you preach, and so I was going to come in, but he was going to be gone. And the truth is, on the plane, I started kind of getting in fear. Intimidated, I guess would be the word. This whole congregation is so well taught. They know all the early church fathers. They know all the isms. They know all the eschatologies and all of that. And I don't want to get in arguments with all these people. And I got my own and you got yours. Just stay over there. Leave me alone. Hallelujah. I want to go nose to nose with you. Just praise God. And on the plane, we're getting the wheels come out. We're getting ready on final. And the Holy Spirit, thank God for God. Yes. He said, Ray, just tell your story. Just tell your story. So I got up and I began to talk about the ministry of helps and helping my pastor. That laying underneath the desk and working early mornings at late at night, that I found the voice of God. I found the power of God. I found the instruction of walking with God and giving in offerings to build my local church and to help my pastor go and to do what I could to come alongside. I'm not the biggest cog in the wheel. I don't care. I just want to be in there. And going through all of that, I talked about how I found the power of God and how it had changed my life. And we had a good meeting. It seemed well received. And he called me about 2-3 weeks later. He said, what have you done to my church? Well, here we go. He said, I've never seen a change over a sermon like I have over yours. He said, I show up and people are waiting outside to help me walk into the church. My wife shows, people are volunteering to work into the nurseries and people are showing up to clean the floors. And we have early morning Bible study before church and everybody's there and they're attentive and they pay attention. He said, Ray, what'd you do to my church? I said, I just told my story. I just told what the anointing has done in my life. I'm not trying to impress anyone. Peter's standing there that day. You understand, Caiaphas, Annas, they don't just know Hebrew. They were raised in this. They're baptized in this. Every day of their life, they were raised with a father who went took them, but they don't know God. From a lawnmower. And God Almighty sets it up for the simple fisher, the common man. Just get out there, son, and tell him your story about what happened. And you talk about God as a God of the second chance. And he won't let Peter live with the agony all the rest of his life of knowing I failed the Lord. He brings it back around and I'm sure God knew from the very first time he grabbed Peter on that boat. It's going to take a while to get through your thick head. But when I do, you're going to get this. And it is going to be the joy of your life, Fisher Boy. Can anybody else understand where I'm coming from? And it took a while, rowing, setting up food, working, putting up with Matthew, getting out of the boat, failing at walking on the water, saying thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're not going to go to the cross, and Jesus calls him the devil, not your best day. You understand? And in all those ups and downs, God just kept working and working and working with Peter, just like God's working with you and I. Whatever you're doing in this church, the devil will do his best to make you feel discouraged at it. You're no good at it. Somebody else could do it better. What is the use? Blah, blah, blah. He'll either pull you down that way or he'll puff you up. You're so good, they can never make it without you. You don't, if they just knew what an asset you are, this church would fall. This church will make it as long as Jesus Christ is in charge. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And either one of those two extremes gets you in trouble. But when you can just stay center of the road and say, all right, Pastor, what did the Lord tell you for me to do? Then I'm going to go do that with all of my heart. And however long it takes, when you can just get it through your head that God's moving in your life, then you begin to see the goodness of God begin to unfold and you change to what used to intimidate you doesn't affect you anymore. The situation, the environment can have no change whatsoever. But today, you're different. Today, I'm changed. Inside of me now, I see God had a plan for me all these years. And I know exactly what to do in this situation. And up he comes and out it comes. And his church goes from 3,000 to 8,000 people. And they are up and rolling because God took a fisherman. The common man. You understand? I'm going to say it again. He doesn't rub shoulders with the right people. As part of the ministry, I don't like watching preachers try to, you know what I mean, get to know the right. I don't want to get to know the right. I only do this because Jesus came in my room while I was eating a peanut butter sandwich and said, I want you to do this. I haven't touched peanut butter since. Teasing. Hear my heart on it. All this is a simple man who wanted to walk with God. And God said, I'll help you then. That's who John was. That's who James was. That's who Matthew was. They just had the good sense to listen. John chapter 1, I believe it's 14, says this. It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. That's what we need in the church, the glory. When the common man can be touched by the glory, when people who love God but they're shaking at their knees of what he wants them to do can be touched by the glory, then you can become changed. These encounters with God, this is what changes people. Amen, this is what I'm trying to get through to people's heads. Walking... Just let God do his thing. Don't get in the way. Hallelujah. And everything will work out just fine. What changed Peter? A true, authentic, God-given move of the Holy Spirit connected to all the other things that he had done over the course of time working with this pastor. Boom. He's a changed man. So today, what are we looking for, Brother Ray? We're looking for the glory. We're looking for the glory to come in the house of God. We're looking for all of us to get busy finding something to do in the house of God, to free our pastor's hands so he can bring us the word of God and let the power begin to flow back into local church. I've said this many times. I'll say it again. I don't know what the church has turned into. I know what it was intended to be. It was never intended to be big anybody. It really wasn't. It was intended to be a place where the Peters, Jameses, and Johns could come in and find the power of God for their life. It was intended to be a place where Moses could find the Joshuas, Aarons, and Hurs, and they could become a team together for God. It was intended to be a place where Elijah and Elisha could hook up and go do something powerful for God for the rest of their life. I don't want to be popular. I want to be right with God. Does this make sense? Don't get caught up in what everybody else is doing. You do what Jesus Christ told you to do, and you get busy working in the local church. And in that local church, though you don't rub shoulders with the right people, you don't know all the right, you know what I'm talking about? You're just a simple, common person. Jesus Christ can begin to change you into who he wants you to be. Can you say amen? Raise your hands. I'm going to pray for you real quick and turn it over to Pastor. Father, thank you for the power of your Spirit. Thank you for the beauty of this church and for these wonderful people that will come out to hear your word on a Friday night. Lord, may the glory fall again in the local church. Not that it hasn't or that it wasn't. But we, Lord, we need these times where we have encounters with you. We need these times where we are touched by you. We have to have this visitation. This visitation back in the church where we are changed. Though our circumstances are the same, we are different. And so we respond to them different. We handle them different. And we are intimidated by our Caiaphases no more. Thank you for the greatness of who you are and the beauty of your victory. We give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a good hand clap. Pastor, thank you for having me tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He just wants us to be us. Let the anointing flow. Stay in the Holy Ghost and get out of the other. It's so simple, but it's so difficult. I like what you said too. You got to swim or you'll go downstream. It's an amazing thing how people get out of it for a while and then you can check their life and they think in their mind everything's okay. But in their fruit, you see how slow they get indoctrinated back into, you know, the worldview like I've been talking about. So many things Ray was saying was just, you know, we were talking about being a witness. Well, you until you yourself and you fill the Holy Spirit and you follow the Holy Spirit, you can't be a witness. And it's the same with everything you do in life. God is good. Let's bless Ray. Let's ushers, wherever you are. We got ushers. Anybody want a cash envelope? Write a check for $10,000 or $15,000? Ray said, I'll get out of that tree real quick. Let's bless. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'd never seen that in the Scripture. Yeah, Caiaphas was in the midst of both of those. That's awesome. Situations don't change. It's an amazing thing until you've dealt with it.
Devils are the same.
Devil's the same. It is an amazing thing. I mean, you know, you hear the same old story so many times. You know, I did. How come things are going bad? You just keep doing. He's not a Santa Claus. Santa Claus, Jesus. No. He's Lord and he knows you. And the illustration that the Holy Spirit led me to do a couple services ago. I'm over here. He already knows where I'm going to be over here. And he knows what I'm going to walk through to get over there. And I may have to serve. And then all of a sudden, I know a little bit of Ray's life of how he walked with Dr. Barclay and put up with a lot of stuff that you felt like at times. Are you kidding me? Because Dr. Barclay's pretty, still got that drill sergeant in him, and but he knew to just be obedient, to just do. And that's the way we've got to be with the Holy Spirit. When he says to do it, just, okay, you're going to do it. And then you'll watch, you'll end up where you're supposed to be when you get to the other side. We need to give. Guys, you want to get the buckets, bring them on down and get them started? Eddie? Looks like we're short-handed. Oh, there he is. Father, we thank you for the money that's coming in, that it's going to bless Mr. Bench and his wife and their family and the ministry he's in. And Father, thank you that we're going to be able to be that tool that's going to help him be able to get out of the treetops and just do nothing but preach the word, take the message, the powerful word that he's got in him, to take to every place that you've got assigned already. You already know the future of what Ray's going to be doing. And we thank you, Father, that we're going to be a part of taking it that way. We thank you that you're blessing us, taking care of us. You give us everything. Thank you that we can give above our tithe and we give offerings that we know as we seed, it's going to come back better than it was before. We thank you for that, Father. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God is good. Don't leave till you've put in the bucket. Everybody good? Let's stand up and let's close. Sunday morning, 9:30. Say, I will be here. I'll be here. You know, I don't really give it a thought. I don't wake up and say, oh, I don't know if I think I'm just going to stay home today. Well, no, I've thought that. But it's just that you don't think that. You take that thought because it doesn't line up with the word, and you say, no, I'm going to go to church. Yeah. Father, we thank you for the night. We thank you that there's been seed planted in us that's going to stir us to serve you to the capacity that you want us to serve, to help us walk day by day, grow day by day, and watch that mind that gives us trouble, that body that doesn't pay attention to what's going on, thank you that mind's going to be renewed, and then that body is going to lead us and direct us the right direction in our life. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for safety around about everybody here as they go home or go wherever they're going tonight. Thank you for taking care of all of us, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Call you blessed. You are dismissed.